Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Systemair first quarter 2018 financial results call on the 5th of June 2018. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press star zero on your telephone for operator assistance. Before we start, we would like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information during this call contains projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events for the future of financial performance of Systemair. You can identify forward-looking statements by terms such as expect, believe, anticipate, estimate, intent, will, good, may, or might, the negative of such terms, or similar expressions. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after today's date or to reflect the occurrence of anticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among others, future rating, economic, and credit conditions, how our competitive environment risks associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and market change in our industries, as well as many other risks, especially related to Systemair and its operations. I will now hand the conference over to Nikolai Minashin. Please go ahead, sir.
Dear ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your interest in Systemair. Today, Systemair's financial and operating results for the first quarter 2018 will be presented by Mr. Andrey Dubovskov, Systemair President, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Vladimir Travkov, Systemair's Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. With that, I'll turn the call to Andrey Dubovskov.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. We are pleased to report a strong set of financial results for the first quarter of 2018. Our portfolio fired on all cylinders in the quarter, with every major asset contributing to revenue improvement. MTS, Detsky Mir, Segezha Group, MTS Bank, and Agroholding State cash delivered a double or triple-digit increase on EBITDA. Let me take you through the performance of individual portfolio companies, and then I'll make a few comments about our strategic areas of the focus on a group level. First of all, our publicly traded assets, MTS and Detsky Mir, continue to demonstrate leadership in their respective industries and have benefited from improved consumer sentiment. At MTS, increased data usage remains a growth driver with attractive margins. The operator continues to make good progress in its digital strategy. It's developing cutting-edge digital products and services in-house and making targeted acquisitions. One example is the purchase of the Russia's two leading e-ticket players in the reporting quarter. At the same time, Detsky Mir again delivered double-digit growth, driven both by the rollout of new retail space and an increase in like-for-like sales. E-commerce remained the fastest-growing sales channel, with online sales up to 65% year-on-year. And of course, Detsky Mir continues to expand its brick-and-mortar footprint as well, with plans to open approximately 70 stores this year and a total of at least 250 over the next 4 years. The turnaround at MTS Bank that we saw last year continued to gain steam in the quarter. Both fee and commission income and interest income rose, resulting in year-on-year revenue growth in excess of 21%. Net income rose more than fourfold. We continue to expand the bank's low-risk product and service offerings and closely monitor the risk profile across the business. Our two exporters, Segezha Group and Agroholding State, performed well on the back of strong external demand for their products as well as weakening of the rubles. Segezha delivered approximately 22% revenue growth and 71% increase in OBDA on a year-on-year basis. State reported another set of strong results in the first quarter, with all four divisions, field crops, vegetables, fruit and dairy, performing strongly. Growth at the field crop division was driven by sales of carryover inventory from the 2017 harvest, supported by higher wheat prices. The vegetable production segment is currently implementing a program to boost operational efficiency. The fruit production segment saw revenue increased 143% year-on-year. and the EBITDA nearly quadrupled year-on-year thanks to optimization of the sales system and higher prices for apples. The dairy division grew as the first line of a new farm opened, and efficiencies continued to boost milk production per head. Our private healthcare operator, Medsea, delivered top-line growth of 39% year-on-year on the back of a continued ramp-up of the company's flagship asset, the Clinic Diagnostic Center at Krasnaya Pressa. High revenue from the inpatient segment and the impact of acquisition completed in 2017 also contributed to growth. Systema companies are benefiting from synergies with other businesses across the group. In April, MDS and Medsea jointly launched SmartMed, a telemedicine platform for digital medical products and services. And MTS Bank is leveraging MTS's brand strength as it continues partnership with the operator with the goal of building a digital bank. In the first quarter, we closed the door on the dispute related to Systema's former ownership of Bashneft. We secured the necessary financing and completed payments to Bashneft totaling 100 billion rubles, thereby fulfilling all Systema's obligations under the settlement agreement. The borrowings in relation to the settlement agreement has left us with an elevated, though still manageable, debt level. Deleveraging is a key priority, and we are pursuing aggressive targets to reduce debt at the corporate center. As we build out our investment fund business, we aim to position the group in the global markets as an investor with strong expertise in the high-tech sector and significant resources that can benefit startups. As part of this strategy, in May, Systema Venture Capital participated in an investment round of TriSave, a startup developing a platform for monitoring construction sites using drones. Other recent investments by Systema Venture Capital include Connectera, a company deploying artificial intelligence solutions for dairy farming, and Deskream, developer of the leading GPU database for analyzing big data. Systema Asia Fund, another investment arm of the group, added HealthyMe, an Indian mobile health and fitness applications, to its portfolio. We expect to be able to announce more high-tech investments in the months ahead. With that, let me now hand the call over to Vladimir Travkov, our CFO, who will take you through the more details about our financial performance in the first quarter, and then I look forward to taking your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrei. First quarter of 2018, Systema Group continued to deliver strong performance across our asset portfolio. Group revenues rose 6.2% year-on-year to 170.9 billion rubles. This revenue growth was driven first and foremost by our publicly traded assets, with a meaningful contribution to Systema Group's top line also coming from Segeja, Stepi, and Minsi. Consolidated adjusted EBITDA was up 30% year-on-year and amounted to 59.5 billion rubles, while the group's adjusted EBITDA margin for the first quarter came in at 34.8%. This robust profitability was enabled by at least a double-digit EBITDA growth at MTS, Детский мир, Segeja, Stepi, and Бинофарм. Thanks to healthy business performance and a positive impact from the introduction of new international financial reporting standards on revenue and leases. On a group level, consolidated SG&A expenses declined by 13.9% year-on-year to 31.4 billion rubles in the first quarter. Consolidated SG&A as a share of revenue decreased to 18.4%, from 22.7% in the first quarter 2017, driven mostly by the impact of newer standards on lease on SG&A of MTS and Детский мир, as well as the cost optimization in the corporate center and RTI. On a like-for-like basis, SG&A remained flat year-on-year, while SG&A to revenue ratio declined to 21.5%. Unlike operating results, and especially EBITDA, which benefited from the application of new standards, the group's net results were impacted in a negative way. The impact was due to increased interest charge and additional amortization expense related to the newly recognized lease assets and lease liabilities. Consolidated capital expenditures in the first quarter increased by 41% year-on-year, driven largely by MTS investments in the networks rollout across Russia. Our consolidated financial liabilities at Sistema Group at the end of the first quarter of 2018 stood at 652.4 billion rubles. During the quarter, we raised bank debt to fulfill obligations under the settlement agreement at corporate center. We also returned to local public debt markets with placement of bonds in the amount of 10 billion rubles with a 1-year put option and 50 billion rubles with a 1.5-year put option. These public transactions enabled us to secure refinancing for all our current public debt during 2018. Our cash position remains at a comfortable level as the corporate center it increased by 9.9% to 14.9 billion rubles. This was impacted by payments under the settlement agreement and substantial bank debt raised in order to make this payment, buyback of MTS shares, dividends from Deskimir unfrozen in the first quarter of 2018, and investments in our funds. We continue to work on optimization of our debt portfolio. To mitigate currency risk, we have hedged 100 million US dollars of Sistema Euro bonds, and we plan to increase the amount of Euro bonds hedged during the year. We are actively engaged with the agencies, with the rating agencies, and have already seen improvements in the perception of Sistema credit quality. Expert rating agency raised Sistema rating to BBB+, and Fitch confirmed our rating at BB- level, the same as it was before Rosneft lawsuit. Recognition of our credit quality by rating agencies will further enhance our ability to tap public debt market for refinancing of our debt. In closing, I would echo what Andrei has said about the leveraging being a key priority for us, and we will pursue it aggressively, both at group and Sistema level. We continue to expect increased proceeds from the asset monetizations and stable dividends from MTS to be key sources of cash flow for the corporate center. Also, based on the current portfolio mix, we expect dividends from non-MTS assets to grow steadily, contributing to further diversification of our cash flows. Thank you again for your attention. With that, I will now hand the call back to you, Nikolai.
Thank you, Vladimir. Operator, we're now ready to take questions.
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please make sure the mute function on your phone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Alexander Vingranovich, Sova Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have two questions on your cash flows at the corporate center level in the first quarter 18. So first, you reported around 4 billion ruble of investments at the corporate center level in first quarter. Can you please explain which investments you made in this quarter, and maybe like break down this amount by acquisitions? That's the first question. And the second question regarding the corporate center SG&A and its optimization. So I've noticed on the slide 11, you described the amount of the corporate center SG&A, which decreased around 10% year over year to 1.5 billion rubles. Can you please guide us through the corporate center SG&A's going forward this year? Do you expect to further optimize the costs? And maybe you have some initial like operating data to share, for example, the number of the people which Sistema currently employs and whether there were any changes over the first quarter 18. Thank you.
So, Alexander, thank you for the question. So, first of all, that's true. We are invested around 4 billion rubles during first quarter, but to be honest, that's just not a big implementation into one asset. It's a number or several streams which we are supported during 2017 and currently also. So that's not a big deal. That's not some kind of sizable investment into the one asset, for example. Talking about our G&A expenses, that's true. We are reducing around 10% less, around 10% our G&A cost during first quarter. And talking about the staff of Sistema, it's approximately one-third less headcount till the end of first quarter. And at the same time, we need to take into account the information that in the first quarter we had a compensation program based on 2017 results on the one hand, and at the same time it was a process of reduction of our staff. So the balance between all these points give us the results of 10% minus in our G&A expenses. Talking about our forecast in this area, it will be approximately the same level during second and third quarter, because we need to compensate to our total employees who leave us during fourth quarter, and I think maybe 10, 15, 20% less we will see in fourth quarter this year. But finally, we are not looking for the radical reducing of our G&A because currently our staff, that's not so big amount, around 250 employees. Thank you.
Yeah, and maybe a brief follow-up on the first question. So should we assume that theoretically pretty much the same amount of quarterly investment should continue in the second, third, and fourth quarter this year, or it was more about the one-off investments? Okay.
So we have no possibility to give you some forecast in this area, because this is investment process, and of course let's wait and see.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now move to our next question from Alex Kazbegi of Renaissance Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you. Andrei, maybe the first question is a general one. I mean, if you see in general any direction where you could see alteration of the previous strategy, for instance, maybe more refocus on some of the core investments and possibly looking again to offload some of the less, if you wish, interesting investments, if there is such, so to say, in your mind. So that's question number one. Number two, I think I generally understand, of course, that you will continue receiving dividends from MTS and also from the subsidiaries. But if you just generally could give us an idea, what is your expectation of the upstreaming of the dividends in absolute terms, roughly again, through calendar 18 and calendar 19, especially with the view that in 19 you have also quite a lot of refinancing and repayment of some of the debt obligations to be done, and how you see that, mostly through refinancing and dividends or also through the asset sales. If you can just comment on that, would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, okay, thank you, Alex. Talking about your first question, you're absolutely right. We are faced on the hard question: how we can cover all our assets. Talking about our investment reserves. First of all, you know, our key priority is to decrease our debt level, but at the same time, we did not forget about our assets. First of all, our strong position in telco, healthcare, agro, and pulp industry. And at the same time, you know, we have a strong committed capital to Sistema Venture Capital and to Sistema Asia Fund, but of course we are going to support all these streams. So finally, that's a question about the balance between our current assets and the new streams which we are faced on and which we are looking for, and where we are going to create a good possibilities to increase the level of our business. And I think it's too early to talk about the radical changes in our strategy. Of course, based on the latest decision by the our board, at least half of our investment resources we are going to send to the new funds, first of all, Sistema Venture Capital. But at the same time, you know, our current resource not so high, and that's not enough to increase this streams so radically. Talking about your second question, I think that the question about the dividends from MTS needs to be addressed to MTS directly, but talking about my explanation, I think that there are a really good triangle in MTS business based on the low multiple, I'm talking about the debt to EBITDA, high dividend level, and current capital expenditure. And this is and this triangle are really healthy. And of course, that's not our interest to destroy this this triangle. But again, I think it will be better if you ask about this dividend story to Alexei Korner, CEO of MTS. Talking about all other assets, including agro and the Segezha, in compare with the dividend, in compare with MTS dividend story, that's not so sizable, but at the same time, it's very sustainable trend, and we're waiting for some changes in this area. And in 2018, 2019, 2020, of course, we are looking for the dividend growth from these assets. Thank you, Alex.
Okay, okay, thank you. One question about debt. So we mostly think about refinancing with debt in 2019, and also some monetization could be used as a sources for such a payment for euro bonds. So both two, both instruments are possible, but I think it's too early to give you any additional clarification on how we'll refinance with debt. Because I think it's too early to do it.
Okay,
still we are,
thank you very much.
We are thinking about it. We are in the process of negotiation with our bank partners of refinancing the debt in 2019.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. We will now take our first our next question from Igor Goncharov. BCS, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. I have two questions. One on one question is first question is on dividends, sort of follow-up question from the previous call. Obviously, you made the decision. The board made the recommendation on the final dividend for 2017, which together with the interim dividend comes to a number which is lower than the floor of ₸1.19 copies per share. I was wondering if there is any, in this relation, if there is any updates to the dividend policy planned, taking into account that the actual dividend decision for 2017 is not fully in line with the current dividend policy. That's question number one. And question number two is in relation of monetization of the assets, specifically Detski Mir, which seems to be the currently the most close to monetization, taking into account the attempt to monetize in the late 2017. Is there any near-term plans for monetization of Detski Mir, and taking into account the comments by the core shareholder that you might be looking for selling the whole stake, how advanced is it a purely hypothetical possibility that the stake in Detski Mir can be sold as the one block, or do you have any specific negotiations with any specific potential buyers? Thank you.
Yes, thank you for your question. And so first of all, about our dividend policy. Our dividend policy remains in place, but this year the board of directors decided to deviate from the dividend policy. To preserve the balance between reducing the company's debt, retaining some resources for exceptionally attractive investment opportunities, and returning cash to shareholders. So during this year, deleveraging remains our top priority, as I said it earlier, and the management and the board will decide on the amount of future dividends once we achieve substantial progress in reducing the total amount of debt. In other words, I just want to say that the current decision is just a compromise between the goal of the debt reducing and our current cash position. But we will be ready to talk about it more deeply later, maybe at the end of this year. And and the second question will be about the Detski Mir. And you're absolutely right. Of course, we are ready to monetize this asset, but at the same time, that's not a question which we are faced on to do it as soon as possible, because currently we have all the resources to support our debt portfolio, and if we will have no enough resources in the market, not enough players in the market who will be ready to create a good offer, we will not sell this asset, because currently, talking about the strong position this asset in the market, talking about the strong dividend policy of Detski Mir, we are fully satisfied, and we are ready to sell Detski Mir if the potential buyer can provide us a really good premium for control. And I think we will come back to this question in the autumn. In the autumn, at this deal of this year, we will be ready to talk about more precisely. Thank you, Igor.
Okay. Thank you very much for the answers. I understand your priorities. I understand the situation now is different from what it was when the dividend policy was approved, but just as a kind of as a guidance or as a benchmark, how should we think about the level of dividends that the you know, the investors can expect in 2000 in the, you know, during next let's say 12 months or so, because obviously the floor which is formulated in the current dividend policy is not going to be fully relevant in coming months. What would be your logic when you will be defining the dividends? If you can provide any additional details on that, because currently it looks like it's very difficult to guess what the dividends will be.
Yeah, that's clear. And talking about our logic, of course we are going to come back to the our current dividend policy as soon as possible. But this fully depends on our monetization program. At least we understand that we have all resources to support our current dividend policy with some local changes. And if the SKMIF story will be implemented till the end of this year, of course I'm fully understand that we will have all possibilities to come back to our previous dividend policy. If the SKMIF story will be not implemented till the end of this year, I think we need to talk about some changes in our dividend policy. But we are fully understand that we need to support the good dividends for our shareholders and investors. But at the same time, we are not ready to sell the SKMIR, for example, with a low price level. That's the question. That's the question about the balance between the monetization and the dividend story. Currently, that's a little bit foggy area, I understand, but at the same time, that's the best way for us than the way to reduce, for example, the dividends or to promise unreal dividend for you with any reliable reasons. So that's a question about the balance. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from Olga Bystrova of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good evening. A question on monetization again, but maybe in a different way. Previously, of course, under the previous management, there were some estimates about planned or let's say planned monetization for the next couple of years. I don't know if you could update us on any sort of quantitative plans for that, at least sort of how you envision it currently, and maybe talk a little bit more which assets do you think are most ready at this stage for monetization besides Detsky Mir. In a way related question to that, what are your targets for deleveraging by the end of 2018 and 2019, given the way you see performance, your current performance of the assets and monetization outlook? Thank you.
Thank you, Olga. And talking about the potential assets for monetization and based on the previous messages from my predecessor, I just want to say that currently we are ready to sell Detsky Mir only because it's a public asset, because it's a strong position in the market, good cash cow, so by the way. And talking about all other businesses covered by Sistema, I think it's too early to do it because we are absolutely sure that, for example, our agro business and pulp business and meat also. That's not a good target for us for monetization because it can be too low prices. And we are talking about the potential IPO during next 2, 3, maybe 4 years. It depends on the assets. And in my opinion, based my conversation with my team and with main shareholders, I think that IPO for all these assets will be the best way for monetization. But at the same time, do not forget about the timing, first of all, and do not forget about the real readiness for IPO and the window of opportunities can be available for us not now, but 2, 3 years later. So if, for example, IPO of Segezha will be in 2020 or 2021, I think it will be the best way for Segezha. If the IPO for Mitsui will be in 2019 or 2020 or 2021, the same. I think it will be the best way for monetization. But right now, or maybe 1 or 2 years later, I think it will be too early to talk about it, because more reasons, more value we can bring to our shareholders and to our investor, to our investors based on IPO. And the second question will be about debt. And I think it will be better if Vladimir can elaborate a little bit more deeply.
Okay. So for current moment, we don't change our guidance for debt. So as we previously announced, we targeted to the number 160 to 190 at the corporate center level till the end of this year, and 150 at the middle of the next year. So we still keep this guidance, and if there will be some updates, we'll do it maybe next conference call.
Okay, thank you very much. And maybe clarification on monetization, real estate and RTI specifically. I know these are probably smaller assets, but there were some discussion on potential additional investors in real estate and deal with on RTI. I was just wondering if there is any sort of cash-related event that we could expect in those assets.
Yeah, Olga, you're right. I think it's interesting story talking about the RTI and the real estate. Talking about the real estate, we are looking for the potential collaboration with other players in the market. And I think we do not target it to create an IPO for Leader Invest, like for Mitsui or for Segezha, for example. And the first step we'll be developing our asset like a business as usual. The second variant, it's a collaboration with one or several players in Russia, in Moscow, first of all, because in my opinion, it can be a real strong players who can give us more value if it will be much more bigger company than in the current level. And third variant for our real assets, real estate assets, to create IPO like for other companies. Talking about the RTI, currently we have approximately the same story like in real estate. We are looking for collaboration with the other players in the Russian market, and maybe you know about the potential possibility to create a good asset based on the Micron and some other assets from RTI umbrella. targeted to create a good player in the Russian market in the microelectronic industry. And currently we are preparing some documents and some steps to create this player, and we will be ready to talk about it till the end of this year. And let's wait. I think it will be very good news for the market, for Sistema, and for our investors.
Okay, thank you very much. And just a very quick clarification on this too. Are these deals likely to be cash or non-cash transactions? I guess that's my question.
No, of course. We are not going to add some cash into this basket. It will be non-cash transactions. At least it will be no sizable cash transaction, to be more clear.
Thank you. As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. Dilia Ibrahimova, Citi, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions, please, on the operating assets, on the third portfolio assets. Could you give us an update on I guess, just going asset by asset on Mid-Sea? You are talking about increasing capacity in Moscow market. Like, I think Michurinsky facilities are being built right now. Maybe you could give us a bit more color when you expect those to be to go live. Is it this year or next year? What else do you have planned? Whether you have any plans for expansion of facilities in St. Pete market? Whether those would be financed by Mid-Sea. Also for Sigirja at this stage, I don't know if you are, maybe you could give us a bit more on what options are out there for capacity growth, not the smaller ones that have been announced previously, like in Plywood, but more in pulp and paper area. And maybe if you could address also the issue of forest resource, how the timing, how difficult it is to get an access. Is it more of a political decision in your view? Also on the Mid-Sea, the Sigirja, and on a step, whether you're looking, whether there, you see opportunities for expansion of a land bank, or for now you're just looking at growing existing facilities, whether that's dairy or fruit orchard. Any color would be appreciated. Thank you.
Dila, thank you for your question, and there are a lot of questions, to be honest. So first of all, about our policy in the healthcare industry. Of course, we are going to increase our coverage in Russia, and including our activities in the Moscow area, including the Michurinsky Hospital, including the St. Pete markets. And currently we're operating in, I don't remember exactly, in 7 or 8 regions in Russia, including Moscow and St. Pete. And of course we are looking at some possibilities to increase our presence in other cities, including south of Russia, including Krasnodar, Rostov-on-Don, Novosibirsk, first of all, Perm, Yekaterinburg, because all these cities are really very interesting for us, but, talking about the economy of these regions and talking about our possibilities to create a good harvest in these cities. But at the same time, you know, we have not enough resources in our headquarters to send money directly to Mid-Sea and to radically increase our presence soon. And this is a question why we are going to create our policy in the regions step by step. And I think that the every next quarter we can bring a new asset, new activities in each region, and finally, sooner or later, we are going to cover all territory of the Russia, of Russia. That's our target. And talking about the news from Segeja and talking about the story about forest resources, yeah, of course, there are a lot of opportunities in the market, not in the Karelia also, but in other regions, and in Siberia, for example. And by the way, 2 weeks later, we are going to open our new factory in Vyatka, in Kirov. And if it will be interesting for you, sorry to say about it, I can invite you to see this this factory. That's very, very good technology, very good opportunity for us to radically increase our capacity in Segeja. And talking about the forest resources, currently that's totally enough for us, but of course we are looking for the possibilities how we increase the forest resources for Segeja, because, you know, we have a new plant in Vyatka, we have a new machine in Karelia, which start operating in fourth quarter 2017, and that's not a critical question for us for forest resources. But at the same time, we do not forget about the question about how we can fulfill the resources for our main asset in this industry. Talking about the step, of course, the current level, 380,000 square kilometers, that's not enough. Currently, we see that we are one of the biggest players in agro in Russia, but at the same time, we are not part of top three or top five players in Russia. And on the one hand, we understand that we need to increase our land bank, but at the same time, we have no enough current resources to do it except the potential collaboration with other players. And the second potential possibilities for us, how we can increase our business, based on the understandings that currently we are trading based on free on board rules. And of course, talking about the marginality, we can create much more profitable business if we will trade based on CIF rules. And currently we are ready to establish a new trade house in Europe, maybe in Africa, maybe in Asia, to implement in a direct relationship with our buyers in these countries. And I think in summer, in this year, we will be ready to announce this news for you and for other colleagues.
Oh, that's very helpful. Thank you very much. Can I just follow up on Segeja? Net debt to EBITDA has increased recently. Well, there are investments are happening, but are you comfortable with the level of leverage at Segeja? And do you think there is a capacity to increase it more? To increase the level, or do you expect the growth in EBITDA to kind of keep the leverage stable and provide resource for further investment?
So I will answer to your question. So we are not planning to further to increase debt to EBITDA level further. So we expect that OIBDA growth will help to reduce debt to OIBDA level, and we expect that there will be some reduction in this metrics in next year.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have no further questions. Please continue with any further points you wish to raise. Pardon, we have a follow-up question from Dilya Ibragimova of Citi. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Sorry, just quick follow-up on Segezha. When you're discussing possibility of monetization or taking the asset public in 2-3 or in a couple of years from now, how do you see the asset? Do you think what the number of facilities that the company has and what is currently being planned, some of the Plywood facilities growth, is it enough, or would you be looking to expand to have like step change in capacity of the asset before you take it public?
Yeah, of course, it will be interesting story to increase the number of assets based on the Segezha business, because we are targeted much more successful story than we can achieve if the story will be based on our current assets or fabrics or plants. But at the same time, we have no possibility during next 1 or 2 years radically increase the number of plants because we have no enough resources from the headquarters. And at the same time, as you mentioned earlier, the multiple in Segezha are really high. And we have two potential variants. First of all, to collaborate with other players in the market and to create not joint venture, but to create some kind of collaboration who can support our business, or to sell some stake in Segezha up to 25% to deleveraging this business and to send this money to increase the number of assets and plants. And currently, it's too early to talk about it because we are just in the process of understanding what kind of the story will be better for us. But you're absolutely right. I think the current level of the number of our assets in Segezha, that's not enough for a good IPO story.
This is very helpful. Thank you.
And now there are no further questions in the queue. Please continue with any further points you wish to raise. And we have another question from Jordan Bintcliffe of Reorg Research. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to ask, in terms of reducing your total amount of debt, which areas of your bank facilities and bonds are you actually going to target? For instance, do you have any plans to pay down your international notes, or where exactly are you going to be reducing the debt from?
So, I think it's a question of so there is no plan for buyback for Eurobonds because there will be redemption of these bonds in 2019, and we're not going to buy back these bonds. There is no economic reason to do that. So I think we'll mostly think about Sberbank's facilities. We will reduce that on maybe on this area first.
Sorry, it wasn't quite clear there. Which area will that be?
Sberbank debt.
Excellent. Thank you very much. So that'll be the ruble-denominated debt first.
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, please press star 1 for any final questions on today's call. And we've no further questions at this time. Please continue with any further points you wish to raise.
Thank you, operator, and thank you, everyone, for participating in our call today. If you have any further questions, please don't hesitate to contact us at our investor relations team. And with that, I would like to conclude our call and wish everyone a very pleasant evening.
Thank you. Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.